This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
كن سعيدا كن فريدا عش بفخر في الحياة لا تبالي فالمعالي.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is your brother Bono Muhammad coming at you with another episode of Hangout, where we hang out. And we have a guest with us who I'm very excited. We like literally snuck him in for this very last minute interview. Imam Daniel Hernandez, who's actually come all the way from Houston, alhamdulillah, to be with us here today. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum.
How's everything?
Wallahi good, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. And actually, I've seen a lot of your talks, and we were at a conference today, and I got a chance to see, you know, firsthand the reaction of a lot of the young people to a lot of the da'wah work that you've been doing, mashallah, tabarakallah. But I'm actually more excited in your background, and I think that what's happening right now in Latin America, what's happening in the Latino community, the Spanish-speaking community with Islam, to me is really exciting. I've had a chance to visit Brazil, I've had a chance to visit Mexico, and just seeing, you know, the atmosphere there, it seems like the people are just waiting for the deen. Can you talk a little bit about your experience coming from
Alhamdulillah, I see it as an awakening within the Latino community, an awakening and like a signature program that we have for Islam and Spanish, titled Islamic Roots in the Latino Culture. So this is a presentation that we go through. We have been in Harvard University and other different places to speak about it. Now, looking at it from my experience, being at one time, you know, a non-Muslim, dealing with the Quran, growing up in Jersey, you know, dealing with the regular Latino struggle in the inner city, you know, liquor store, every other block and all that. And then finding the Quran, or basically, you know, I stole the Quran from my friend.
You stole it?
Yeah. So my first, so this Quran was left in my house, and that's the one that I began to read, and I befriended it. So basically, at a time where I didn't trust nobody, you know, the Quran was the one that I depended on. So being the one that accepted Islam in my family, and then through the sharing of this, you know, beautiful information with my mom, you know, at one time she decided to also accept Islam.
MashaAllah.
Being an educated Bible student, as she, before marrying my dad, was a nun.
Wow.
Yeah, so then after she accepted Islam, 2 years after me, my dad also accepted Islam. So alhamdulillah, coming from a single individual to then having mom, dad, older brother, you know, my wife, we met in the mosque. She's from Dominican Republic. My four kids. So now it's a family. So alhamdulillah, there are other families, you know, of, you know, same experience. You know, I know a sister, she's been Muslim for 30 years.
Allahu Akbar.
And in different areas in the States, you have three generation Latino Muslims. So the growth is just, people are anxious to just know. And their response is, we didn't know about this. Right? And when they find out that they have more in common with Islam than they thought, they immediately just open up. They lower down their guard when they find out that we're not trying to convince them, that we're just trying to inform them. And when they experience this, it's different from what they experience with other religions that try to, you know, accept this for your salvation. We're just informing them, this is the message of Islam. And when we touch on Islam in Al-Andalus, that is like mind-boggling for them, honestly. Like, they're like...
Actually, before we get into Andalus, because that's definitely a topic that I want to discuss, just briefly give us a bit of a background. So you mentioned that you stole your access to the Quran was first from a stolen version. What within the Quran really sparked your interest to kind of see this as a book of truth?
Well, basically, in the beginning, when I was searching for the truth, I was looking within six Bibles and the Quran.
Okay.
So I was looking, because when I read the autobiography of Malcolm X, right? You know, I got the spark that changes possible. So being a person, you know, alhamdulillah, raised with good parents, parents who, like my dad, used to play with us video games, and, you know, parents that are always close-knit. But, you know, being in the inner city, you get lost, you know, and that's something that your parents are busy trying to make it, trying to make a living. So, alhamdulillah, when I came in contact with the Quran, and I, you know, read the first chapter, it's the first chapter, you know, Surah Al-Fatiha, when I was thinking about, who do I ask for help? You know, that's something that the youth ask. You know, I'm stuck. Who do I ask for help? And then when I read, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in, you alone do we worship, and you alone do we ask for help. I said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask Allah and put my trust in Him, because I don't trust a human being. You know, my parents, they're the exception.
Right.
But other than that, you know, a lot of different experiences. So upon my reading of the Quran, putting my trust in the Quran, putting my trust in Allah, I began to read and try to apply. Not knowing how, but whenever there was an action, a command, I began to try to put it into practice. And I would take an ayah a day and hold myself accountable in the evening. Did I do it? And I used to get mad at myself. Man, I slipped. I didn't do it. You know, I read the ayah about watching your tongue, right?
We're still trying to implement that ayah.
So it was like, you know, every sentence is, you know, yeah, pa, pa, pa. So I'm like, I slipped. Oh, man, I got to start over again. So that was a daily thing, a daily struggle, you know, about fasting. Began to fast. Didn't know Maghrib existed. It was like, used to fast until I felt I couldn't take it no more.
Just the whole day?
Just, yeah, just until I couldn't take it no more. Because I wanted to feel what the poor people felt. I was like, I'm not a hypocrite. I know I got food in my house. Let me feel what the poor people feel, and then I'll stop fasting. Wow. So that's something that when I fasted periodically, it served me as a rehabilitation from different type of addictions. Addictions like drinking every day, a couple of 40s, smoking two packs of cigarettes a day. So the Quran served as my rehabilitation. So that's what, when I heard Sheikh Shenqiti, who teaches in Saudi Arabia, he visited Egypt. And I asked him for advice as a student of knowledge. And he said something that I was like, SubhanAllah, when I was a non-Muslim, it was just me and the Quran. I wasn't shy. I wasn't ashamed of it. It was the big, people say, oh man, you stole the pocket-sized Quran. I was like, nah man, I have skills. I took the Abdullah Yusuf Ali.
Oh, that's the big joint. That's the 500.
That has the Arabic, English, and commentary. So we were like, how do you do it? I said, if I had the ability to take Tim's, I could take a Quran.
I like that. You put a good time to use.
If I could put Tim's as guns, but I had a piece of cake.
SubhanAllah,
but you know, the reason I took it was for my boy. It wasn't even for me. So that's, you know, I typically, the only reason that I like to share the stories many times is to impact the youth, you know, in a simple way that they can feel that there's a possibility for change. And everybody, you know, can have a turning point. And you don't have to be a non-Muslim, you could be a Muslim, but come back to Allah.
So tell us a little bit about the experience, and once you came into Islam, telling your parents, what was the family's reaction? What was the community's reaction to seeing this new transformation?
So basically in the beginning, you know, I stayed away from my boys, right? I used to be the rank number 4 in the gang. And when I was in that point of searching, I stayed away from them. So I would go through the side streets, you know, I wouldn't go to the main avenue because I felt like that was temptation, right? So I was like, man, if I hit the streets, the first thing, you know, I don't want to drink, but when you don't want to do it, people give it to you for free.
Shaitan is there.
Exactly. Right there, free. Yeah. Everything free. But when you want it, you got to pay for it. Right? So I was like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm gonna go through the side street. I'm going to go through different angles. So for months, I was going.
You're just creeping through alleyways.
So now I got to go to the line. The Quran was like my shield, right? So I would go to the, you know, in Texas, we got Washateria. Right?
What is that?
In Jersey, we got laundromats. Right?
Okay.
Right, Washateria, laundromats, right? Yeah. So this is a culture, right? Shock, okay. Right? So now I used to go, you know, wash clothes. Walking with my Quran. While I'm waiting, I'm just reading. So it wasn't, I became accustomed. I learned how to walk and read. At times I will bump into a meter, right?
Or a pool. Or
yeah, but I knew that the hasanats are there. So I just keep, you know, so those are personal experiences that when I made the choice, right? I made the choice to, I said, that's it, man. I got to accept Islam. You know, that I went to I was going to the mosque and I chose the best day. I chose Friday, right? Friday night. But the spot where the mosque is on 47th Street, Union City. That is a city in North Jersey, by Jersey City. And that's where my boys hang out. So I went there, and I'm like, you know what's going to happen? I knew it. I'm going to run into them. And they're going to offer me something to drink.
So on the day you're going to take a shower?
Yeah. Now, they just wanted to go to the mosque. So I go there, and they were like, where you been, man? It's like, nah, I've been chilling. Here you go. So I faked it, right? So I was just like holding the beer by the mosque, looking at the word Allah on top of the mosque. And I'm just trying to figure out how am I going to go in, right? I'm like, if I go in, they're going to call the cops on me. They know me from the area. Two houses by the mosque. The head detective lives there. You know, he's my boy now, right? But he used to, you know, we used to always have nice interaction in the past.
Friendly conversations.
He was very merciful with me, alhamdulillah. But when I went there, I saw this friend of mine. And this is something that happens typically. You know a Muslim, but he never tells you about Islam. So I saw my boy. I knew him for 8 years. We used to play basketball almost daily. And he passed by. I was like, yo, Mo, what's up? I said, yeah, I want to go to the mosque. He was like, you? I was like, yeah. He's like, why? Because he knew me. I mean, alhamdulillah, he comes from a very good family. You know, he also was, I think, you know, from a personal sense, he practiced Islam because he would go to the public school when we were in high school, and he would sometimes wear a kufi.
He was brave.
And he had good grades and everything, so he was respected. So that's something that also, the character of the family, the kids, are well-mannered. So alhamdulillah, that had an impact. So alhamdulillah, so Mo said, you know, at this time, Friday night, everybody left the mosque. Let's meet up on Wednesday. So I went on Wednesday and I met the imam. And it was actually Maghrib time. And he was like, what do you watch? We're about to pray. I said, I didn't come to watch. You think that's fair? You guys pray and I just watch? It's like, nah, man, I'm going to pray.
Allahu Akbar.
So I said, okay, I'll just follow. Because for me, making the decision to come to the mosque, that means I believe in the Quran and everything is in it. So that's not, I'm not coming to, I was just trying to practice. I've been praying different qibla, a messed up salah, right? But inshallah, I accept it.
Inshallah.
Right? And now I got the chance to pray in a mosque, right? So subhanAllah, so we prayed. Afterwards, I met the Imam, Sheikh Muhammad Al-Hayek, and he was like, so where do you get the Quran from? I was like, I just stole it. He's like, what? He said, you gotta give it back. He said, wait a minute. The Quran has been my friend for 9 months. Think I'm gonna give it back? Unless if I get the same one, I'll give it back. And he was like, he ran through the library, and I never seen a man run so fast. But mashallah, he found the Abdullah Yusuf Ali, gave it to me, and he wrote on it. And later on, I realized, just recently, man, that he was wise for writing on that Quran, like the dedication. Because that forced me to give the other one up. I couldn't switch it.
I couldn't, you knew which one was which.
Yeah, I couldn't switch it. I couldn't say, nah, man. I have a relationship with that Quran, right? It's different, I mean, because cried, you know, struggle, it cleaned me up. So it's like, can't let it go. But alhamdulillah, I went and I returned it. Actually, it was from a public library. So I went to the front desk. They didn't know. I said, here, this belongs to the library. And that's it.
You didn't ask about your due dates?
Oh, no.
Oh, you took it anyway, so you were...
So there's no record. There's no record. They didn't know anything about it.
SubhanAllah.
So alhamdulillah, they don't know the story. So sometimes I tell people, pass by the library and see if you see it. You know, that's part of...
So now after coming to Islam and obviously, I'm really interested, to be honest, personally, I'm interested in Islam in Latin America. I think it's such a vibrant culture, and the people there are just like waiting for this deen. Can you talk a little bit about your efforts in giving da'wah in Spanish and what the community's been like, the Spanish da'wah specifically?
Alhamdulillah, the community is growing. There's a high demand. Alhamdulillah, we are blessed to have an organization like Islam in Spanish that has produced over 500 audiobooks. You know, of authentic works. And alhamdulillah, we are sending to different parts in Latin America libraries. And these libraries serve as imams. Because not every country has teachers. Alhamdulillah, we're also blessed to have teachers and sheikhs like Sheikh Isa Garcia, who actually translated a new version of the Quran in Spanish with commentary from reputable tafsirs. So alhamdulillah, he spent many years working on it, and finally it's out and is available for free online. So alhamdulillah, there's a lot of good work taking place. Like currently as we speak, Brother Mujahid, Sheikh Walid Basuni, Brother Mujahid Fletcher, Sheikh Walid Basuni, and Isa Garcia are in Colombia in a conference to educate governmental officials about Islam and clarity regarding Islam and extremism and so on. So alhamdulillah, they took Sheikh Walid as the qualified scholar. Brother Mujahid will also give some presentation. And alhamdulillah that the Latin American countries are, you are seeing more about Islam now because of the media as well, with the access of YouTube and all that. Alhamdulillah, there's a lot of more activities in Ecuador. We have Sheikh Yahya, who in his house, one floor, he made a masjid. And he's one of the first ones to begin translating in Spanish. So he accepted Islam maybe almost 30 years ago. Yes, alhamdulillah. So he's very active with interfaith work. Then we have in Mexico, Omar Weston. Alhamdulillah, they're doing a lot of good work there as well. And Isa Rojas.
Isa Rojas, mashallah. Mexico, mashallah.
So there's a lot of work. And, you know, there's a lot of also experienced individuals that can see serve as mentors. So that's something that for the newcomers that are coming back from studying abroad, from Medina or from Egypt, now they have mentors to help them get into the system.
Right.
So now they're stepping out of the just the traditional teaching of Islam but they're getting to the streets. They're getting to the people.
Right.
And people are accepting it.
MashaAllah.
You know, from indigenous communities in Chiapas.
Yes.
To indigenous communities in Sierra Nevada and Colombia.
Allah Akbar.
Yeah, in the mountains.
Wow. Came into Islam.
Yeah.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah, there's a... there's a guy named Waikako. He is an activist for saving Mother Earth. And they live off the earth. So they, mashallah, these people there, you know, they accepted Islam. So Brother Mujahid actually is working on a documentary from them. So they're taking nice.
Hopefully we'll see that soon.
Inshallah.
We have literally like, you know, less than a minute left. Just quickly, I wanted to jump back into the idea of Al-Andalus and the connection between, you know, Spanish-speaking people and Spain in general and Islam. Because there is, actually, I've even read a lot about the connection, even within the language, right, within Spanish language and Arabic as well. Is that something you can just comment on quickly?
There are three parts. One is the language. We have thousands and thousands of words that Spanish that are actually of Arabic origin. That's number one. Number two is the architecture. So we have architecture in Puerto Rico, like the main monument in Puerto Rico, called El Morro. El Morro were the Moors. And the structure is actually a fortress that looks like a fortress in Melilla, which is in Spain. In Dominican Republic, there is a river called, and I joke around sometimes, called Osama. El Rio Osama.
The River of Osama.
Yeah. And then next to the river, there is a castle for Diego, for Christopher Columbus' son, named Diego Colón. And the castle is named Alcazar. Alcazar.
Alcazar, wow.
It still has the Arabic name in Spanish. So a lot of the words that are al are Arabic.
Right.
Alcalde, Alcadi, Alcazar.
Wow.
Right? So that's in the architecture. And then we have in the customs. For example, my grandfather used to always sleep qailula.
Right. Well, that's one sunnah we love.
And so by the time afternoon came, he's knocked out.
Yeah.
We will go to school. And he already did a plant, stretched out all of the coffee to get dried out in the sun. And we're just getting ready to go to school. So alhamdulillah, there's a rich history, 781 years of Muslim rule in Al-Andalus. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. We actually have to wrap up. But I thank you for your wisdom and everything that you've imparted upon us.
Barakallahu for
joining us. Jazakallah khair for watching. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you. We'll catch you on another episode of Hangout coming soon. This is your host, Brother Bona Muhammad, signing off. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. سعيدا كن فريدا عش بفخر في الحياة لا تبالي فالمعالي